Paul tells Timothy and us to do our best to present ourselves to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth. We'll take a look at that truth and how to handle it next on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us. All our lives we spend studying for this test, studying for that job, studying for this or that or the other thing. That's what we do. But when it comes to our relationship with Christ, oftentimes we leave off the study of God's Word, thinking it'll just happen by osmosis. Welcome to Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden. If you'll join us for the next few minutes, we'll do just that. Study God's Word that we might show ourselves approved. A workman who does not need to be ashamed. With this edition of Abounding Grace, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, if you were with us yesterday, you know we started a study on Paul's teaching in Romans chapter 14 on the issue of Christian liberty. And this is a very important study in our day as we understand what our Christian liberty is and what the freedom that Christ's work on the cross has brought us as Christians. And yesterday we looked at the great truth of how Christians are to fight for those essentials and walk in unity on the essentials that the Scripture has laid open for us in very clear terms and express terms, as these essentials of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the call to fight for the unity on these essentials. Because the danger in talking about the non-essentials is that we can draw the wrong conclusion, a conclusion that we would all love to draw, that everyone in the camp is called Christian is fine, and as if love is defined by saying nothing and joining hands regardless of what one believes, just keeping our mouths closed. No, God calls us to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once delivered to all the saints. That's that deposit of truth in the Word of God that was given to us that we are to contend for, to fight for. And though one may call themselves a Christian, if they are espousing false doctrine, they have to be lovingly corrected. Those things that we are united together, which cannot be compromised, are the essentials of the gospel. And if you want to study those more, a lot of times people, we hear this statement, no creed but Christ, which I always ironically laugh at, because that in and of itself is a creed. Everyone has a creed. A creed is what you believe. Are you telling me that you don't believe anything? I mean, it doesn't work. Creeds were early set forth in the Christian church. Roman Catholicism responded by their own creeds to Protestantism, but Protestantism wrote creeds so that Christians would know what they believe and why. What are those body of truths by which we walk together in the spirit of unity, in the bond of peace, those truths which cannot be compromised? It's always amazing when evangelicals learn that they actually have a history and that these Christian creeds were written and confessions were written about what Christians believed and they defended. So if you want a copy of the Christian confessions that have been held in classic Protestantism now for 400 to 500 years since they broke away in 1517 and 19 from the Roman Catholic Church, then call us and we'll send you some. You'll be greatly blessed by these if you have not read them. They teach very clearly what are the essential doctrines of the Christian faith by which we can walk together in the spirit of unity, because cultists and cultisms all say they believe the Bible. The question is, what do we, remember what Jesus asked Peter? Who do men say that I am? A lot of people have answers. But Peter, who do you say that I am? That's a creed. It's a confession of what we believe concerning the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, those are the essentials. Those are what we walk together in unity with. Paul is dealing with those things in the life of the church body here in Romans chapter 14 that are non-essential. There certainly are non-essential things. He says in verse 1, receive one who's weak in the faith, but not to disputes over doubtful things. Now, he goes on and he gives two examples of doubtful things that people should not divide over in the life of the church body. And there are just countless numbers of these things that arise, which people have divided over in the life of the church in the last 2,000 years, that really is an attack on Jesus's call. By your love for one another, men will know that you are my disciples. So what are these things, these non-essential things that the apostle is here talking about? Well, he gives two examples. Obviously, this was something that the first century Christians were facing in Rome. The issue probably went something like this. Jesus said in Mark chapter 7, verse 15, "There's nothing that enters a man from outside which can defile him, but the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile a man. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." Now that was a hard teaching, my friends, for the Jews. They had been living with rigor, believing in the clean, unclean distinction for years. Now Jesus realizes how difficult this would be. His person and work sets people free with regard to those elements of bondage. But he who has an ear to hear this can only hear this. And he who has an ear, that person in whom the Spirit opens the mind to receive it, he's the one that can understand what Jesus is saying. And the Holy Spirit is patient. He is forbearing. He does not work across the board at one time to bring everyone to the same level of conviction at the same moment of time. Now, the situation was probably this. In Rome, the Jews were expelled from Rome by Claudius and later returned. Studying the Jerusalem Council of Acts 15, we know there was probably a clash between the Jews and Gentiles over certain things, over food and over observance of days. The Jews were still quite concerned about foods and observance of all these religious holy days. And the Gentiles, without all this baggage, had understood their freedom. Now, Paul makes a very important distinction here that's crucial for us to understand. Look, when people thought that by observing days and eating of foods, there was some contribution to their justification before God, Paul was in your face. He wrote to the Galatians over these things. He said, "I'm concerned for you, lest somehow I labored among you in vain." We know they were retorting back to those things to get right with God. He says, "You're being bewitched." To the church in Colossae, he wrote, "Let no one judge you in food or in drink, or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ." And he goes on, "Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourself to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concerns things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men." Now, in both these cases, in Colossae and in the church in Galatia, Paul condemned these things, foods and days and observance of these things, because the people doing them thought there was some sort of securing of God's favor through their observance. And he would say, "No, no, no. You're messing up the gospel. It's only Christ who's your justification. He is your righteousness. He is your life. Doing those things don't make you right with God. They leave you in bondage under those basic principles of the law that will condemn you." But you have nothing of the sort here to the church in Rome. Now we need to learn from this. They were not attaching saving significance to the observance of these things. They understood the gospel. I mean, they just had 11 chapters to explain it. They got it. But some of the daily customs were still being observed. We all know how we like our routines and customs. You know, a lot of people in church like to sit in their very same seat every day. Why is that? It's comfortable to them. The fact is, here in Rome, some were observing days and refraining from foods, not with any view to salvation, but because they had not yet grasped their full freedom in Christ. They thought they were remaining obedient out of thankfulness to God for these things, and Paul considers them weak in the faith. But he knows that this stuff can totally destroy a church. Customs, practices, and so on, as sides are taken. I mean, it's the very thing that happened in Philippi when two groups splintered out, dividing the body so that their fellowship in the gospel and their witness in the most important thing was being attacked. And as these traditions were kept, Paul was concerned that walls would again be erected and raised in these non-essentials to the peril of the gospel which had broken down these walls. Christ tore down the middle wall of separation, creating from the two peoples, Jew and Gentile, one new man. As Galatians says, the Israel of God. Because a Jew is not outward, but a Jew is inward. God tore down those walls in Christ. And Paul is calling for patience and unity. He's going to say, pursue those things which lead to peace and mutual edification. So he knows here that each group is critical of each other. He says, I want you to realize each group who has their convictions must be considered Christian in these gray areas. And you're all going to give an account to the Lord. So what he does here at this point in Romans chapter 14 is he takes up two issues, the issue of foods and then the issue of observance of days. He says, for one believes that he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. So Paul knows each group is critical. And he agrees, the strong are the ones who understand the full significance of what Christ did on the cross to free them from the daily life from these regulations. But the weak still have their traditions and their convictions. And so he goes on. Let not him who eats, so the strong one, despise him who does not eat. And let not him who does not eat judge him who eats. Now we're going to come back and mine the weight of that passage tomorrow. It's a really glorious passage. But I want you to keep in mind here, what Paul's essentially calling us to is the mind of Christ. In Philippians 2, that mind was a mind that what? Counted himself of no reputation, taking the form of a slave. He took on our flesh, subjected himself under the law, right? Dying on a cross. So he set aside his own interests and put aside our interests so that he, by dying on the cross, would release us who have been in fear of bondage all of our lives and free us. As Jesus said, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. That kind of freedom should drive us in our love for one another. And that, my friends, is the kind of Christianity the Lord is after.
Exercising our minds, hearts, and affections towards Christ. This has been Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon from United Reformed Church here in Linden, studying God's Word that we might show ourselves approved. Thank you for joining us. As always, we leave you with our address and phone number if you'd like to contact us. Maybe you have a question, comment about the broadcast. Maybe you'd like to join us for worship or a prayer request. Again, you can reach us at 360-318-0429. Again, that phone number is 360-318-0429. If you'd like to know more about us, you can visit our website. A lot of information there, lindenurc.com. Again, that's lindenurc.com. As always, you're welcome to write 8650 Benson Road, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And again, that phone number, 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. If you're planning a visit, we would love to see you. In fact, let one of the ushers know you're invited by the radio broadcast, won't you? That would encourage us a great deal. Sunday services are at 10 a.m. and again at 7 p.m. We're at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden. For the directions, you can either go to our website, lindenurc.com, or call us 360-318-0429. Again, 360-318-0429. Our desire here at Abounding Grace is that you grow in Christ. If there's anything we can do to help you in that endeavor, please feel free to contact us. And then join us again next time for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.